And the Angels Were Silent by Max Lucado. Chapter 7, The Guy with the Donkey. If anyone asks you why you are taking the donkeys, say that the master needs them, and he will send them at once. Matthew 21:3. When we all get home, I know what I want to do. There's someone I want to get to know. You go ahead and swap stories with Mary, or talk doctrine with Paul. I'll catch up with you soon, but first I want to meet the guy with the donkey. I don't know his name or what he looks like. I only know one thing, what he gave. He gave a donkey to Jesus on the Sunday he entered Jerusalem. Go to the town you can see there. When you enter it, you will quickly find a donkey tied there with its colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you why you are taking the donkeys, say that the master needs them, and he will send them at once. When we all get to heaven, I want to visit this fellow. I have several questions for him. How did you know? How did you know it was Jesus who needed a donkey? Did you have a vision? Did you get a telegram? Did an angel appear in your bowl of lentils? Was it hard to give? Was it difficult to give something to Jesus for him to use? I want to ask that question because sometimes it's hard for me. Sometimes I like to keep my animals to myself. Sometimes when God wants something, I act like I don't know what he needs. How did it feel? How did it feel to look out and see Jesus on the back of the donkey that lived in your barn? Were you proud? Were you surprised? Were you annoyed? Did you know? Did you have any idea that your generosity would be used for such a noble purpose? Did it ever occur to you that God was going to ride your donkey? Were you aware that all four gospel writers would tell your story? Did it ever cross your mind that a couple of millenniums later, a curious preacher in South Texas would be wondering your plight late at night? And as I ponder yours, I ponder mine. Sometimes I get the impression that God wants me to give him something, and sometimes I don't give it because I don't know for sure, and then I feel bad because I missed my chance. Other times, I know he wants something, but I don't give it because I'm too selfish. And other times, too few times, I hear him and I obey him and feel honored that a gift of mine would be used to carry Jesus into another place. And still other times, I wonder if my little deeds today will make a difference in the long haul. Maybe you have those questions too. All of us have a donkey. You and I each have something in our lives which, if given back to God, could, like the donkey, move Jesus and his story further down the road. Maybe you can sing, or hug, or program a computer, or speak Swahili, or write a check. Whichever, that's your donkey. Whichever, your donkey belongs to him. It really does belong to him. Your gifts are his, and the donkey was his. The original wording of the instructions Jesus gave to his disciples is proof. If anyone asks you why you are taking the donkey, you are to say, "Its Lord is in need." The language Jesus used is the language of a royal levy. It was an ancient law which required the citizen to render to the king any item or service he or one of his emissaries might request. In making such a request, Jesus is claiming to be king. He is speaking as one in authority. He is stating that as king, he has rights to any possession of his subjects. It could be that God wants to mount your donkey and enter the walls of another city, another nation, another heart. Do you let him? Do you give it? Or do you hesitate? That guy who gave Jesus the donkey is just one in a long line of folks who gave little things to a big God. Scripture has quite a gallery of donkey givers, In fact, heaven may have a shrine to honor God's uncommon use of the common. It's a place you won't want to miss. Stroll through and see Rahab's rope, Paul's bucket, David's sling, and Samson's jawbone. Wrap your hand around the staff which split the sea and smote the rock. Sniff the ointment which soothed Jesus' skin and lifted his heart. Rest your head on the same cloak which gave comfort to Christ in the boat, and run your hand along the smooth wood of the manger, soft as a baby's skin. Or set your shoulder beneath the heavy Roman beam, as coarse as a traitor's kiss. I don't know if these items will be there, but I am sure of one thing. The people who use them will. The risk takers. Rahab, who sheltered the spy. The brethren who smuggled Paul. The conquerors. David slinging a stone. Samson swinging a bone. Moses lifting a rod. The caregivers. Mary at Jesus' feet. What she gave cost much, but somehow she knew what he would give would cost more. The anonymous disciple in the boat. He made a bed out of a boat so God could take a nap. And the curious pilgrim on the side of the Via Dolorosa. For all we knew, he knew very little. He just knew Jesus' bloody, beaten back was weary and his own back was strong. So when the soldier pointed, this man came. Quite a fraternity, is it not? Strong stewards who view what is theirs as his and make it available whenever he might need it. Sharecroppers of the vineyard who haven't forgotten who owns the property. Loyal students who remember who is paying the tuition. Here's another. A 19th century Sunday school teacher who led a Boston shoe clerk to Christ. The teacher's name you've never heard. Kimball. The name of the shoe clerk he converted you have. Dwight Moody. Moody became an evangelist and had a major influence on a young preacher named Frederick B. Mayer. Mayer began to preach on college campuses, and while doing so, he converted J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became involved in the YMCA and arranged for a former baseball player named Billy Sunday to come to Charlotte, North Carolina for a revival. A group of Charlotte community leaders were so enthusiastic afterward that they planned another campaign and brought Mordecai Ham to town to preach. In that revival, a young man named Billy Graham yielded his life to Christ. Did the Boston schoolteacher have any idea what would become of his conversation with the shoe salesman? No, he, like the owner of the donkey, had a chance to help Jesus' journey into another heart. So he did. Some years ago, I was on a campaign in Hawaii. Hey, somebody has to go to those desolate places. My job was to go door to door and invite people to our nightly meetings. Most of the folks were kind, but not too interested. Though no one was rude, no one asked us in either. Then we came upon a lady of grace who is not mentioned in Scripture only because she was born 2 millenniums too late. I don't know her name, but I remember her presence and her presence. She was a wisp of a lady, small, oriental, shoulders hunched by the years, a woman of modest means. She worked as a maid at one of the many hotels which dot the beach. When she learned we were sharing Christ, she insisted we come into her house and see how she was trying to influence her coworkers. Into a back room we went. In it was a large table covered with the decoupage material, glue, paint, wooden frames. But most of the space was taken up by pieces of wood which were carved to look like an open wooden book. She explained that she couldn't read, so it would be difficult for her to teach. She explained that she had little income, so it would be impossible to give money. But somewhere she had learned this craft and was now using it to introduce her faith to her friends. Her plan was simple. She took the wooden book and on one side of it pasted a Polaroid picture of her friend. On the other, she put a Bible verse. Her rationale? People love to see a picture of themselves. Most of her friends were simple folks with few wall decorations. Here was a way to hang a Bible verse on their wall where they would see it every day. Would something come of it? You never know. But God does. God uses tiny seeds to reap great harvests. It is on the back of donkeys he rides, not steeds or chariots, just simple donkeys. If I had asked my questions to the Hawaiian lady, she would have answered, "He always needs us. We are his mouth. We are his hands." I can see her blush, honored that her gifts would be chosen by a king. I wouldn't have had to ask, "Is it hard? Is it hard to give?" The answer was in her smile. And that last question? No, I wouldn't have to ask it either. Do you think that 2,000 years from now, she has no way of knowing. The guy with the donkey didn't. Samson didn't. Moses and Rahab didn't. The shoe salesman didn't. And we don't either. No sower of small seeds can know the extent of his harvest. But don't be surprised if in heaven, next to David's sling and Moses' rod and the donkey's rope, you discover a decoupage book with a picture and a verse.